Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Legacy and Faith Show featuring estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello once again, Paul Grant.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you in studio once again. You're going to give us a little of a tutelage on the difference between Medicaid and Medicare this week, subjects that we didn't ever think we'd have to deal with, but so many of us are having to consider this issue now.
Yeah, and in some of the differences between Medicaid, Medicare, we all have to deal with them in one way or another, specifically the Medicare. And, of course, even though I deal with these topics, I'll try to keep the two words separated because they're so close. I wish we could have come up with some other terminology than Medicaid, Medicare.
Right.
And even as I talk, I may get them reversed, but hopefully I'll catch myself and make sure that we keep the terminologies nice and distinct.
Okay.
So a very confusing topic for many individuals. And in estate planning, though, it is one that is of extreme interest and that we get a lot of questions surrounding. So there seems to be two major camps is that it's either we've been amazingly provided for and we're going to be able to manage our health for the rest of our life by what God has given us, or we've had a difficult time financially, and we may need assistance to make sure that our health is going to be taken care of.
Would you say that's probably the majority of Americans now?
Yeah. I mean, the statistics are becoming wider and wider. Right now, even in Washington state, there is an exemption, a tax exemption of $2.2 million. That's a general figure. It's actually $2,193,000, but 2.2 for all intents and purposes, okay, that if you die with more than $2.2 million, you could be subject to an estate tax. Mm. And according to Washington state, less than 1.5% of all Washingtonians will be subject to that tax. Yeah. So that means that
98%.
Yeah, 98% have less. So, yes,
right,
a high majority of us have less money than what we may feel comfortable with. And specifically in this issue of how do I make sure that I'm going to be well taken care of for the rest of my life? And we've heard the term that a lot of people are beginning to outlive their money.
Right.
And so that's also a problem. So who would think that technology could be a problem? But as technology continues to get better and better, it then gets better in our healthcare system. And so again, who would have thunk that that's a bad thing, except that what doctors have found is that when we have a health crisis, if you can think of a mountain range, at the very peak is our optimum health area. And when we have a health crisis, we go down into a valley and our life is saved because medicine is much better. And then our health increases, but it's much lower than the first peak was.
Right.
And then we have another health crisis and we go down into a valley that was lower, more towards sea level, than the first valley. And then we recover up to a lesser peak. And it's a continuation until we end up coming to sea level, which of course in this analogy means that we're now passed on. So in that though, what that means is that our lifespans are increasing, even though our lifespans may not be as robust, and even though our life, the quality of life, that's what I wanted to say, that the quality of life may not be where we wanted.
Right.
And so because of technology, because our health is better cared for, then it used to be that $1 million was like the end-all be-all. Right? I mean, I remember growing up and like, wow, somebody's a millionaire. And now if you own a home and it's paid off, it's almost worth $1 million in the Pacific Northwest. It's it's just insanity.
Right.
So $1 million is not what it used to be anymore.
Right.
So having these barometers of a certain sum also really does not mean that we may be able to make it financially and care for ourselves. And so we want to talk about the difference between Medicaid, Medicare, and this gap that a high majority of individuals are concerned about and fearful of even. So, and let's admit it, even as Christians, we have fears.
Sure.
All right. I mean, ultimately, we're supposed to turn our faith towards Christ and rest in his promises. But we're all at different journeys. We're all at different levels in our faith walk, and that's okay. So that's where we can start using some practical wisdom. So let's talk about some practical things of Medicaid and Medicare.
Okay.
So let's start with the two different terminologies.
Okay.
Medicare is a system that every American must register for when you become 65. It's a health system that has been implemented.
That you must register for.
Yep, that's
okay.
Right.
All right.
And so there
You're not just automatically registered for it?
No, no. You must proactively take a step and make sure that you apply for it. Otherwise, there can be penalties, and we don't like penalties. So there are always exceptions to every rule because it's the government. So, of course, there have to be exceptions, but the question is, can we understand those exceptions? Well, one of the easiest ones is if I'm still working and if my employment has a health benefit, then I do not need to then rest upon the Medicare system. But within 9 months of leaving your employment, when that ends, then you must, at that point, apply and make application for Medicare. So Medicare is a system that does provide Americans with some sort of a health benefit, but of course you have to be 65.
Right.
And that's where the Obamacare system tried to fill the gap, is that from 65 and below, we wanted health care for all Americans versus we've always had a system when you reach a certain age limit. Now, within that system, there are preventative services available. It pays for many preventative services, but not for all of them. It can pay for some types of hearing aids, but not all. Dental would be something that we would have to pay for out of pocket.
In Medicare.
In Medicare. Mm-hmm. So, but really the big gap, well, I'll get there in a second. So in also when you apply, then there's things called gap insurances. So, Part A, Part B, Part D are the most common ones. If people have heard those terminologies.
Yes.
So Part A pays for hospital stays. And usually, hospital stays are included in the Medicare system. Okay. So Part A is typically included. Part B then pays for outpatient services. So if you wanted to go see a specific doctor, and then we get into these doctors, you have to choose a specific gap insurance, and that insurance coverage then has a list of doctors, right? So in plan, out of plan type of thought process for which doctors would be covered under that. And for Part B, for the outpatient services, there is a monthly fee that individuals can anticipate. It'll be automatically taken out of any government assistance that you get.
So that's coming out of your Social Security check?
Yep, out of your Social Security.
All right.
And so, and the average monthly fee is about $130 that individuals pay to have their Part B gap insurance.
Okay.
And then Part D is in dog.
Now, why did they skip C?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. So Part D then pays for medication. And so if you want medications or specific medications, then there's also a fee, a monthly fee that can be included to ensure that your medications are paid for. So all of this is put into the system. And of course, we have some problems with this system. It is a huge buzz in Congress and in society as in general of whether or not this process and this system can continually be funded. We hear that it's going to go bankrupt by 2030 or maybe 2035 or maybe 2040. It depends on which economist you decide to listen to. The bottom line, though, is that the government has a massive bill to ensure the safety and care of those who are 65 or older. And taxes need to be raised or other avenues need to be brought in to the government system in order to ensure that this process remain available. So how do we get money into the government? Well, whenever we've worked, we have input into this system, right?
Right.
So your employer pays 1.45%, you pay 1.45%. Or if you're self-employed, you pay all 2.9%.
You've been paying into that, your Medicare, through your wages up until that point.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So everyone's been paying in. Congratulations. Well, at least when you work. So anyone who works has been paying into the system, and it is through that income stream that by laborers that we now pay for the current individuals. And that's the problem, is that the money that I put into it is not saved up
for me,
for Paul.
Right.
It's actually being immediately utilized by the government for those who are currently utilizing the system,
right,
which is where the gap is, which is why we're going to run out of money. Because currently, between 16 and 17% of the U.S. population is 65 or older. By 2030, or approximately therein, that figure will jump to 25%.
Hmm.
So that's a big change in the age and the landscape of what will make up the American population.
Yeah.
That a quarter of our population is going to be 65 or older. So this promotes a problem because a lot of people do what when they reach 65? They stop working.
Right.
They retire. And so therefore, what they have been inputting, and by the way, when you're at that age, that's typically when you start earning more money, is at the crest of your career, right? You start little and you earn more as you go up. So the higher amounts that are being put in by a generation that is about ready to retire is now going to be cut off. And that's where the concern of, do we have enough money in the U.S. government to really perpetuate and continue this process? So there's the Medicare system. And after break, we're going to come back and we're going to start talking about the Medicaid system, which is completely different for different purposes.
Okay, similar names, totally different, but Paul Grant is helping us sort out the differences between Medicaid and Medicare this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. People are intrigued. They want to get in touch with you about estate planning. How do they do that, Paul?
And go to legacyandfaith.com, our website. There's educational programs that you can attend at our Linwood office. We offer them on a monthly basis. We'd love to get to know you. And there's also a place where you can listen to podcasts or ask questions. Would love to have your questions so I can direct the show towards you.
LegacyandFaith.com. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show here with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hey, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS. I want to personally invite you to an upcoming educational session on the truth about estate planning. There are sessions for every situation and every family that can be found on our website, LegacyandFaith.com. I want to specifically highlight our Truth About Estate Planning and Medicaid session that's coming up on Saturday, May 12th at 9:30 a.m. at my Linwood office. If you are interested in proactively preparing your estate plan against Medicaid concerns, then I encourage you to sign up on our website at legacyandfaith.com for our May 12th, 9:30 a.m. session. Again, that's The Truth About Estate Planning with Medicaid Focus on Saturday, May 12th in our Linwood office. Sign up at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland on the interesting subject of Medicaid and Medicare this week. We just discussed Medicare, and now the more interesting discussion about Medicaid, as you may have in your family, as I have in my family, elderly parents who were looking at the need for Medicaid and what that entailed. There was a lot of real eye-opening information there. And you're going to help us sort out this this week, Paul.
Yeah, and let me say this about Medicaid. So first of all, I try to remember them that I need aid, so therefore it's Medicaid. So Medicaid is intended for those who do not have financial ability to pay for their own care. So it's a government assistance program. It's actually available for everybody. So
doesn't have to be 65.
No, that's correct. Mm-hmm. So that's the Medicare system. But the Medicaid system is if I just am jobless and I have no income, but I need to the help of society for a period of time, I can have food stamps, I could get housing allowances, I could get medical assistance, right? So all of that is aid to me because I don't have the financial wherewithal to support myself or my family at this point in time. Okay. So that's the big deal, is that Medicaid then steps in for anybody in society that needs assistance. And it can step in for assistance later in life as well. Because the problem with Medicare is that it has its limits. It has its limits on what type of health care you can actually receive from the government. And so the gap then starts specifically if you end up and need long-term care assistance. And that's really the juggernaut of where plans, financial plans, begin to fall apart.
Right.
So let me say this. I'm not an insurance expert, but I deal with a lot of insurance. I don't sell it. I don't get a penny from it.
But you know what the costs are.
Yeah. And so, but because it's a part of people's estate plans, I have a general working knowledge. So the first line of defense for anybody is insurance. So we do it in every aspect of our life. I drive, and so I have car insurance. As a matter of fact, I'm required by law to have it.
Right.
Okay? But yet, there's many people who are still driving without car insurance, which is why I have uninsured motorist as well. So we understand that if I was in a car accident, my insurance is the first one to step in front of me and say, up to these limits, I will protect you, Paul. Okay. And so there's many different types of insurances. There's that. There's homeowners insurance, which we have. And the statistics are rather staggering. And when we start talking about Medicaid and the need for assistance. So really what we're talking about here, Mark, is that there's going to be a time where a majority of us need someone else to care for us at one time or another. As a matter of fact, if you reach the age of 65, then you have a 75% chance that at one time or another, you will need someone else to care for you for a period of time. Someone else will need to stand next to you and assist you, whether it's with financial decisions or medical decisions or just life in general decisions. We're going to need help. And that's really where the first word of encouragement and the first discussion of anything we talk about Medicaid is it possible that we are at an age in your 50s, in your 60s still, where we can talk to our financial advisor and talk about the opportunity of long-term care insurance? Long-term care insurance has its shortcomings. It is not an end-all be-all. It was never intended for that. Mm. It is only intended to be an income stream. And here's the beauty of it, a tax-free income stream to assist you, but not pay for everything. So you will still need to pay some things out of pocket. The average care in the Western Washington area right now for long-term care is at approximately between $7,000 and $9,000, depending on what type of care you want.
Per month.
Per month. Thank you. Right. I did forget that. It's not an annual fee. That's a per month basis. Yeah. And that is breathtakingly more than most people spend on a monthly basis.
Just for normal. Yeah.
When they're living their life, specifically when they're in their 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Many times houses are paid off. And so our needs for our lifestyle on a monthly income basis is far less, unless we run into this healthcare issue. Mm-hmm. And this is where financial plans can get destroyed.
Can I ask, maybe it's not really the subject, but you talked about we're legally required to have driver's insurance. Why isn't there work done on requiring long-term care insurance? You think that's ever going to come up?
No.
Because I've heard long-term care insurance gets to be a point where it's unaffordable.
Correct. You know, so. And the older you get, the more unaffordable it becomes. Yeah. And so we do have Medicare because there is a part that is already mandated. So that's a part of it. But no, I don't think we'll ever get to a place where the government is going to step in and start mandating that we get insured for this. The benefits would just simply have to come through the government itself.
Okay.
But it's just so pricey. Yeah. There's no way the government can do it. As a matter of fact, it's so pricey that they have to have limitations. So let's talk about some of those limitations. So we've moved from the first step is have a conversation with your financial advisor. Can you still get long-term care insurance? In your 50s is the perfect time. If you're in your young 60s, you still haven't crested to where it becomes unaffordable. When you hit 65 or older, all of a sudden the math jumps astronomically for the policies. You can still do it. And there's a lot of opportunities out there for long-term care insurance. But all I'm saying is the sooner you get it in your 50s, the better off and more affordable it's going to be for you. So have the conversation is step number one.
Right.
Now, for those who cannot afford it or are already disqualified, because you have to be able to qualify for your health status and everything
like
else.
Life insurance.
It's mm-hmm. a similar, mm-hmm. it's not perfectly aligned, but it is similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is an underwriting process that you have to go through. You have to qualify and then you have to pay for it. So all of those things have to align for you to be able to get it. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, then we're into what step number two is, which is typically the family plan. In other words, there is no plan beyond that. And we're just going to make it up as I get ill or sick. Right. And my family is going to get the privilege of running around with their head
cut
off.
And this is 99% of the country's plan.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And right. And so if you ever want to get back at your kids, just make no long-term care plan whatsoever.
Right.
It's an ingenious way to go ahead and say, I told you so. So... but we really don't want to end up because it creates such immeasurable insecurity for ourselves. And then We place the burden upon our kids and the care upon our kids. So we need to have some sort of a plan. And of course, that's what we have to have the conversation about is, what do you have? How long can that last? What insurances do you have? And if not, then what will the long-term result of you needing care be? And that's where we start getting into Medicaid. So when you have Medicare, if you have a long-term illness, Medicare will pay for the first 100 days of your long-term care. Okay, for skilled nursing care. But after 100 days, that benefit is immediately cut off.
You're out.
You're done.
Right.
And so now you are going to rest upon private pay in order to continue to receive the care that you need. And if you are single, that system will mandate that you spend everything that you have until you have $2,000 left to your name.
Right.
And that includes all of your IRAs, which, by the way, when you pull it out, then you have to pay an income tax on. So it is a very high cost to get to that money just to spend it on your care on a monthly basis. So how does a long-term illness influence and devastate you financially? Well, all of your money is wrapped up in IRA. It's very expensive money to get out. And we've never had the conversation. We've never planned for this time of life. And so now Medicare will cut off after 100 days. But now what are the solutions? Now, when we don't have any further money, now the Medicaid system will kick in. But you truly have to be impoverished, which for most of us really doesn't set well. Right. And that's where the fear and the gap come into. We need to have a plan for this gap. We need to have a conversation of, what do we have and where do we go and how do we prepare for mm-hmm. our spouse mm-hmm. or for our family to ensure that we are not going to leave during our lifetime a mess. So we talk about in estate planning, don't leave a mess behind if you die. Well, this could even be a bigger mess. Of, I haven't planned for my care, and so now my family has to step in and bail me out. Let's not bail out. Let's have a plan and let's discuss it. So we'll continue this conversation next week because it is
a huge
conversation piece. Yeah. And so I apologize for just barely getting a trickle and a teaser out this week, but there it is. It's the trickle and the teaser. So come on back next week and listen in.
Okay. Medicaid, very important subject. Like Paul mentioned, 99% of us probably will need some form of Medicaid if we don't plan. Now, if we plan with someone like Paul,
we could have a whole different solution for the family and ourselves. So that's right.
Okay. So how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Go over to legacyandfaith.com. Ability for workshops, podcasts, and ask questions as well.
LegacyandFaith.com. Paul Grant, the Legacy and Faith Show, here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at LegacyandFaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.